Season 6, Episode 13, Dead Girl Walking. It opens up with a female DOA in a hole? Just a hole in the middle of the street? She is found by a large transgender person whose name is Topaz?
It's a famous face.
It is a famous face. I didn't realize it until I looked it up the second time. It is played by Michael McCain, who also played the transgendered woman in Basketball.
Oh, shit. I was going to make a joke and say it was Will Sasso.
You are offensive. No, this man, Micah McCain, he was the same person who played a transvestite in... Or transgender. I mean, I don't know what's offensive now. I know it would have been fine in the 90s, but he plays a transgendered person in Basketball. He plays the transgendered person that Squeak goes after at the end of the game.
And I don't remember that character enough to remember them. I just thought it was a little Sasso.
But I did go into a bit of a research hole with this guy, because I was like, does this dude only play transgendered people in movies? And it turns out he's a very large gay man, and that seems to be kind of what he gets pigeonholed into doing.
I was gonna say, he's probably like a drag queen or something.
This dude, I mean, because he's playing a transgendered woman, he is a dude, the actor, so it's gonna be very difficult with the pronouns. I apologize ahead of time to the LGBTQ community. LGBTQ plus community. But I will mention that I'm sorry for what Sipowicz does, because he is very uncool to this person from the jump. They find that the body has ID for an Elvira Iglesias. Sipowicz makes a comment, how does that guy think he could pass for a woman? To which Danny responds, he must have had a poor guidance counselor in high school.
So stupid.
Once they mention the name on the ID, Topaz knows who that is. But Topaz refuses to look at her face, saying, I've been through enough today. And if I saw her face, I'd probably just drop dead.
Yeah, she's being very dramatic about the whole thing.
Do you know anything about her that could help? And Topaz responds, well, she's a Pisces, if that helps. Of course it doesn't, because that's bullshit. Sipowicz and Sorensen get a call that Fancy wants him back at the house. So Sipowicz tells Russell and Kirkendall that him and Sorensen have to go back to the house. And when they get back to the car, after Topaz mentions how good Russell's figure is, and then mentions that she throws around her Johns, and I was like, hot damn. It's a strong, big lady.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, that's just some weird info to just give out, but all right.
Sorensen jokes about somebody from the Yankees, somebody who should be pitching for the Yankees, throwing the body out of a building, which is weird. Then Topaz is like, hey, could you guys give me a ride? And what's funny is, after the long pause between Sorensen and Sipowicz, I think Topaz should have been like, you know what, I guess not. Because clearly, you don't want me in the car.
It's a very weird stare down.
And then Sipowicz kind of, like, gives her a head nod, and she runs, and she's like, thank you so much, and he just says, don't speak to me. Which was a little fucked. A little fucked up.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
And then we have the beginning of the episode. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, go through every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. And this is the theme song to NYPD Blue. I figure we go through the Elfie storyline, because once again, the title story seems tacked on and not very cool, and then the other story seems awesome and amazing. Mrs. Iglesias comes in and basically is like, I don't really want to help if she's arrested, and mentions that the clock is running on the missing persons report that she gave. And they're like, okay, they bring her into the coffee room. She orders coffee like it's a fucking Starbucks. And basically makes it clear that she's just waiting for her dead daughter payday. That's what I wrote.
Oh, 100%.
She's like, yeah, she has a life insurance policy that her grandmother put on her, and they won't declare her dead until 2 weeks. So, what's going on? And they give her the photos. She's clearly putting on an act. It's really annoying. I hate her.
Yeah, this whole thing sucks.
She lets it slip that, yeah, she was whoring, right? That's why I put her out. It's like, you put her out and then put her in as missing? And she's like, no, I put her in a wayward home for youths. And it's like, no, you didn't, bitch. You're a fucking horrible person. And she's like, I want you to catch the son of a bitch that did this, and then they'll issue a death certificate, and you're like, you're a horrible person. So
yeah, dude, she's like, from the get-go, is so shitty.
I wanted to mention, just because it's very weird, that woman, the woman who plays Mrs. Iglesias, was played by Norma Maldonado.
Uh-huh.
And just by a random twist of fate, she was in Breaking Bad, a single episode where she played a woman named Dolores.
Oh, interesting.
Crazy.
I think that's what we call in the business, Kirk, full circle.
Yes, in the business. She played Dolores in one episode of Breaking Bad. Full circle.
I think I vaguely remember she was like a side character that I think that gets annoyed by Walter somewhere.
I don't remember her at all, to be honest. I was like, I think her face is familiar. I looked at her IMDb and was like, don't fucking know this one. And turned out she was Dolores in Breaking Bad. Just crazy. Then, in the middle of the episode, a young Hispanic, Latinx woman comes in. She's like, I'm here for the LV Iglesias case. And John's like, do you have information about her? And she's like, yeah, you could say that. And then she's joking, like, so apparently I'm dead? Says that her buddy Joni stole her ID, so she doesn't go to jail for another prostitute caller. And they're like, so you sold it to her? And she's like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, she's just as horrible as her fucking mom, dude.
And then she sees the picture of Joni, and she's like, that's Joni. Jimmy Chavez did this to her. And they're like, why would your mom tell us this was you? And she's like, that's just wishful thinking. And you're like, great, fantastic. Just a quick mention, because it involves Russell. During the case, she gets a call from Henry Caulfield, who has been...
I like Henry. I like this character.
He's calling because he was told by Bobby to keep Russell abreast of what's going on with the birds. So he says, I'm going to come by where you work to tell you about the birds. And,
Do you really think Russell gives a shit about those fucking birds?
No, she doesn't at all. You could tell. And she's like, I don't know why Henry needs to talk to me about the birds. Then Jimmy Chavez's mom comes in, and she's like, he was in an accident? Because the last time they told me about an accident, it turns out he's a piece of shit, and he was arrested. And then she pulls out a bloody shirt, and I wanted to be like, why do you fucking think you're here? Like, yeah. what are you talking about?
Why do you just have a bloody shirt?
Also, a famous face that was played by Christina Avila, who has been in NYPD Blue 3 different times as 3 different characters.
Really? Oh, wow.
I believe it's always been an older Hispanic lady, but she has been 3 different times.
I was going to say, I'll have to look at her face more closely and see if she ends up in Deadwood.
She's also in the movie Liar Liar.
Classic.
Yeah, exactly. And then she also, like, mentioned, they asked, like, oh, do you know something about Joni? I don't remember her last name. And she's like, well, her and my son were, like, childhood friends. Did something happen to her, too? And it's like, wow, woman, you need to fucking kick your shitty boy out of your home. Their whole story ends with the fact that Russell just tells, or not Russell, Kirkendall just tells Russell that Chavez tried to carjack a cab and then crashes it, fucking himself up before getting caught by the police. So we don't even see what happens to end that story.
This is 2 episodes in a row where, like, the stories kind of just solve themselves.
That's why it's like, why is this one the title one?
Yeah, again.
And, well, mostly because it's a clever title, quote-unquote, Dead Girl Walking, but it's like, the story's not cool enough when you have this other shit that's going on that's very interesting. After they mention what happened to Chavez, Henry shows up, played by Willie Garson, most known for Sex in the City, and I believe Jackass number 2.
I can't wait for the 4th one.
I was skeptical, and then I saw the trailer, and I'm like, what am I fucking talking about? I'm gonna see it. So Henry comes in, and he's clearly like, he's good old Henry, you know? He's kind of an asshole about everything. He gets weird about sitting in Bobby's chair. He's like, did the blowhard leave? Can I sit in that chair? And Russell is like, I'll sit in Bobby's chair and you can sit in my chair. And what I wrote is clearly he's reaching out to somebody who knew Bobby, but doesn't know how because he's so, like, emotionally stunted on everything.
Yeah.
And Russell really needed it, too, because she's kind of getting, not getting over Bobby, but working through it right now. And Henry is, like, one of the few people that she can call that understands how good, that he understands how good Bobby is. Because Bobby could have straight up, like, murdered this dude with how shitty he was to people.
They both needed each other to, like, kind of remember him, but at the same time, like, and when it's all over, they both are, like, kind of have to start anew without Bobby, you know?
Mm-hmm. And everything, like, just because that's how he communicates, is like, everything's breaking my balls. I gotta take care of the building. I gotta take care of these fucking birds. I gave them names, I guess. I'm put out by this, but it's still very tender because they both clearly miss Bobby. And Bobby was.
Oh, important. No, the name thing, I think he gets weirded out by the name thing because I think he thinks Russell's upset by it. Because Russell goes, oh, they have names? And he's like, yeah, I gave them names. But then I think when he realizes that, like, she's indifferent about it, he, like, backs off and is like, oh, okay, it's cool. Because she basically tells him, like, hey, the birds are your deal, so do whatever you think's best.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that, like, reminds him of Bobby, so he's a little defensive about it. But when he realizes that she's hands-off and is like, do your thing, like, you seem to be into it, they then, like, kind of bond for a bit.
It's a good moment because he's, like, emotionally connecting, and it's so hard for him. And then he kind of, like, starts to tear up and just bounces.
Yeah.
But he also, right before he does, he's like, did Bobby leave anything else for me to do? Because, like, it seems like he's so happy with doing something Bobby wants him to do in a weird way. So, in between the end of that story, we have the actual end of the Elvie story, which is her mom comes back and is like, hey, did you get anything about her death certificate? And they're like, come with me. Here's the Poke Room before you go to fucking jail for a bad report, because you knew that wasn't your daughter. And then she puts on another show and then tries to pitch them going on Sally, Jesse, Raphael. And after that happens, Russell's just like, I'm out. She's just like, I'm done. And leaves.
Yeah, it's so fucking weird. It's so weird.
And that I think Kirkendall, because she has children, she says to her, like, is your daughter dead enough to you that you don't want to know how she's doing?
Yeah, that was some harsh shit.
And she goes, yeah, how is she? And she's like, she's doing good.
That's it.
And I was like, Kirkendall, it hurts more for Kirkendall because she has two sons, I think, that this mother is that much of a bitch.
Fuck your sons.
Fuck your sons. And then she literally tells her, like, don't stay too long. Like, I'm not going to show you the exit. I'm just fucking leaving you.
Yeah. I mean, that mom's an idiot. Some people aren't just born. Some people aren't made to be parents, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Kirkendall comes out to see Russell setting up a weekly call with Henry, which I was like, that's going to end pretty quick, I think.
Oh, yeah. they set it up. They're just not. I just don't think they're going to come through on it.
I think it's pretty much it.
They can set up all the shit they want, dude.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much kind of a nice thing to do right now, but 2 months from now, she's going to be like, I'm not talking to you, man.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of... hey, yeah, we should get lunch together. Oh, the pandemic's over. We should definitely hang out.
Yeah. That Delta variant, though, can't risk it. Sure, I'm vaccinated, but I can't risk it. I just can't. So the other story, the way more interesting story. Because as we know, at the beginning, Sipwitz and Sorensen get called back to the house. When they get to the house, Doran and... a familiar face, the guy that plays Steve Graham, we remember him from the episode Cop in a Bottle, because he's a lieutenant of a different precinct, and he had that shitty alcoholic detective, and yeah. he was trying everything in his power to get him fired.
I wrote, does Dornan's boss look like an older, methed-out Danny Sorensen?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think we'd get to it this fast, but that guy, Steve Rankin, who plays Steve Graham.
Oh, even his name. Even
oh,
his
shit.
Name,
I,
Rank, Rankin.
I may have done that wrong. I have to look it up. I don't know if his actual name is Steve. I may have just doubled the name.
Duncan Rankin.
He was one of his known for is he was one of the INS agents in the beginning of Men in Black.
Yeah, he was. I remember the shot looking in the van.
His face is the quintessential shitty old white man face. It's like perfectly structured that when you see it, you're like, oh, so you hate the change that's coming to this country based on symbol evolution, education.
For sure. And I bet you in real life that dude's like a hippie.
That dude like
smokes a, like does a bunch of drugs and like meditates and shit. And but like he has the face of like. That's just funny.
He has an indigenous American wife. He wears ponchos. He sleeps on like hammocks.
He checks his privilege all the time.
Anyway, we gotta get to the story. So we do. Steve Graham and Detective Dornan. That's the point. Dornan is in Francie's office, and they come in and they're like, "Hey, what's up, Steve?" Lieutenant, and he's like, what's going on, Sarge? He's like, it's Detective Dornan. And they're like, what happened here? And he says, they got a guy in our precinct with a tip of a big cache of weapons, and they wanted to get us involved in that. Graham was like, well, who's going to be the supervisory person? And Fancy's like, I'll do it.
Well, I think Graham's asking in like a douchey way. He's doing it in that white way of like, who's going to be in charge, parentheses, me.
And then after Dornan and Fancy kind of hint at each other, and then Fancy's like, I'll take it, I'll take care of it. And then Graham's like, well, that's the reason you're in the situation you're in, isn't it, Dornan? Like, why are you helping out one of your black co-workers, Dornan? Which is like, okay. And that's when Dornan comes back with, well, you know us. This isn't me saying it. This is I'm quoting. He said, "Well, that's us colored folks, slow learners." And I was like, "Holy shit!" In this, like, I thought at that point, I was like, "The Office."
He emphasizes colored.
After he said that, I was like, "The tension in this room is way too high. We got here way too fast. we're at level 11 right now."
And that's dude, he came in so hot, but he's frustrated. I get it.
Dornan calls him out. Then when Graham leaves, Sipowicz is like, "Okay, what happened, Dornan?" And Dornan's like, "Oh, you're asking me? I should throw you through the window." And then Sorensen is like, "What's happening, Sarge?" And then someone's like, "Don't call him Sarge." And he's like, "I'll throw you both through the window at the same time." It turns into like a goddamn wrestling promo, like so fast. Like it might as well be like Booker T and like Hulk Hogan.
Racist.
Or shit.
Racist.
Why? What?
Had to be a black wrestler, Kirk?
Well, I'm not going to say it's Macho Man Randy Savage and like another white guy because it's not.
I mean, he was acting very Macho Man there.
I don't know about that. He'd be way more crazy if he was Macho Man.
Yeah.
He threatens Sipowicz and Sorensen in the office. They all separate because they're like, let's just go to work. Sipowicz goes into the bathroom and gets upset that Sorensen didn't realize that meant we were going to the shitter together. I don't know.
Yeah, that standoff scene was so weird. Because I was even confused because Sipowicz doesn't really, like, give a good, like, sign, you know what I mean?
No, he just rolls into the bathroom and then he opens the door like, where the fuck are you?
Yeah, and then he yells at him, he's like, did you grab enough office supplies? It's like, oh, that was harsh. you're attacking his, like, mental disability, but that's cool.
There's another part where Fancy's going towards the coffee room and Dornan is like, I thought we were going to work. He's like, I'm gonna get some coffee. He's like, I'll be here. He's like, why don't you get some coffee with me? And he goes, nope, I'll wait right here. And he goes, fine, I'll make some tea. And he goes into the coffee room. Dornan is just at the front of Fancy's office. And Sipowicz and Sorensen are in the bathroom. And Sipowicz basically just goes over the Suarez case. How it was Dornan's. He asked if he could look into it. Dornan was upset about a comment he made that's still pretty fucking racist. And fucked up about a homeless man.
Sipowicz just feels that he's responsible for getting him sent out.
And he's trying to convince himself he isn't by telling the whole story, which is not...
The whole fucked up thing is, like, he doesn't care that he's been taken down from a sergeant to a detective. Once he finds out that it's not his fault.
Well, it's hard. Like, we'll get to it when he has his last speech with Dornan, which I think reveals a little bit more about their intentions towards each other. But the whole point in the bathroom was literally, like, to go over what happened between them, and Sipwith's to try and dump the responsibility, like, I'm not the reason he got demoted. And then he's like, didn't you just do a solid for that cheese eater? And he's like, and Sorensen's like, you mean Martens of IAB? And he's like, yeah. He's like, go ask him. And he's like, do you want me to ask him right now? Do you want to put Dornan on the phone? They leave the bathroom. Dornan sees them leave the bathroom. And then now he has to go get coffee to just not be in the same room as Sipwith's. Fancy closes the door. Fancy and Dornan now butt heads. Because Fancy's like, don't act like you did me a favor by putting me on this thing. Because now the white boss, Graham, is just going to tell his bosses that I butted in to look good. Which is exactly what Graham was trying to fucking do.
Yeah.
And then Dornan's like, no. He's going to say that you were thinking black before you were thinking blue, and for 30 seconds, you were.
Why was that an insult?
I don't think it was an insult. I think it was Dornan going like, hey, solidarity. And then Fancy was offended because Fancy doesn't want to be perceived like that's all he thinks is the separation.
I thought that's what the whole intent behind it was, is he was basically saying, like, hey, for once, instead of thinking for the police, you thought for, like, your skin color instead. And then Fancy got mad, and I was like, why would you get mad at that?
Because they'll have more headbutting moments. I think Fancy was just upset that the assumption is, he's like, oh, yeah, for 30 seconds I cared about being black more than my job. Which Fancy's like, that's not my deal. I care about this job more than the whole race thing. And Dornan seems to be, that's the big chip on his shoulder. That's a big theme about this whole thing.
That's not my jam.
I wrote down the quote because it was like, oh shit, that's harsh. Fancy gets up and goes for the door and he says, the elevator down, Dornan, doesn't just stop at detective. And I was like, oh fuck. He's like, I know that you've been getting shit on by all these other guys. I'll put in to bring you back down even more if you want to be an asshole. And I'm like, that's harsh to get this guy from a sergeant to like a fucking patrolman just because he pissed you off a little bit.
I don't think Fancy was threatening to like help him get demoted even more. I think he was just giving him a heads up, like, hey, if you're going to keep acting like this. And that's what the conversation goes to, like when Sorensen talks to Martens, and like Martens is basically like, I mean, we should wait till we get there, but Martens basically is like, nah, dude, like, if you're a black cop like Dornan and you have like the attitude he has, like, you're gonna rub a lot of people the wrong way in this job, and that's why he got demoted. It wasn't because of this case. It was because of other shit, and they're just using that as an excuse. It's weird to me because it's like, Dornan is basically Sipowicz, but he's a black dude.
Yes. That's...
And...
There's yeah.
And everyone has a problem with how he's acting and who he is. And, like, all of these white dudes are fucking telling him, like, hey, you have to stop. Like, that's why I have a problem with the... I mean, I'm jumping all around, but that's why I have a problem with the last thing that him and Andy talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Because Andy says to him, like, oh, you walk around with this chip on your shoulder, blah, blah, blah. It's like, motherfucker, that's you.
Yeah,
but he gets more shit than you do and doesn't get as many chances because he's a black dude.
I'm gonna get to it. There's a couple of key lines that I was like, that's the whole point, and that's why through the lens of today, Dornan isn't the bad guy this episode is pointing out him to be.
Yeah, and like they all try to make him the bad guy.
It's very like, yeah, we'll get there because there's a very clear line that I was like, that's exactly the problem here. And nobody sees it because because no one's considering it at this point in the culture. But we got to get there. After Fancy and Dornan are in the coffee room, they come back out. Danny says that Martin said he would get back to him. The next scene we see him, they go on one of those raids. It's a classic NYPD blue raid. They all got the vests. They're all hooked up with guns. They bust in and there's nobody home. Just a bunch of guns and ammo. Sipowicz, Sorensen, Fancy, and Dornan are going to sit inside the room, and Medavoy and Martinez are going to check the entrances of the building. And I just wrote this line because it was really... To hear Richard Gant, who plays Dornan, say it, it just seemed like it was very cool and well said. Speaking of which, Richard Gant, famous face, he was in The Big Lebowski as one of the cops, the big black cop in the dude's house. He was in Norbit, for fans of terrible movies.
He's in Deadwood.
He's also in Deadwood. Kyle mentions that every time, and I forget. But he says the phrase...
He's fucking great, Deadwood.
He says the phrase... Lots of weaponry out of the hands of the evildoers. It's going to look good on your resume. Fancy smiles. And they cut away. When they cut back, all of them are just waiting in the room. Fancy tells a story where he put on an affectation on his voice to get a perp to come back to his apartment. I think that's the PC way to say it. Sipowicz, being the bull in a china shop, goes... How do you learn how to talk like that? And Fancy is just like, on my dad's knee, dude. And he's like, but I thought you came for money. And he's like, no, I didn't. And he's like, well, then how'd you get an education? He's like, they're not wrong questions. The way he's asking them seems wrong.
I wrote, like, Sipowicz needs to learn how to ask questions better.
It's like, you can ask,
also, the whole conversation is like, a conversation of, like, why the police force is inherently racist, and most workforces are, because you have these two black men who, like, had to, like, fight and scrape to get where they are, and then you have Andy, who's just like, yeah, I used to pick my partners by who could do my work, and these guys are like, yeah, like, I couldn't breathe without thinking I was either gonna get fired or demoted, and going to school at the same time, and changing how I talk so I don't sound too black. And then fucking Andy's just like, yeah, I just had people, like, do my work for me. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it is a moment where, like... And also, Danny Sorensen doesn't say a word, which I thought was funny. It was like, the young guy doesn't say shit. You sit there and be quiet. Sipowicz literally starts the conversation by going, like, huh, I thought you were an educated, non-street, smart, African-American type. And Fancy's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I have a life outside of what you know about me. And then we find out, oh, well, the reason I got my education is because my mom made it a priority. And then Dornan says the same thing. And then Sipowicz is like, oh yeah, education didn't fucking matter at all. Like,
yeah,
I couldn't type. I couldn't do anything. And you're like... That's what your takeaway is? Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. The whole time, like, this whole thing is like in the universe of the show, right? Until today, in the show, Dornan is like highly regarded as a police officer. Like, becoming a sergeant is like no easy task. Like, you know, it's a distinguished position inside of, like, the police department, and. You know, Fancy's a lieutenant, and, like, you know, these are, like, big fucking deals and shit. And these guys are, like, telling their life stories and, like, showing a little bit of who they are, and Andy's just like, oh, yeah, I used to cheat. And these guys are just like, dude, you're totally missing the whole point. Like, you're missing all of it. And I think even Danny realizes Sip was just kind of missing it and kind of, like, tone deaf, you know?
In the middle of this conversation, an Uzi appears at their front door that was...
Hey, who the fuck's watching the door?
Nobody walks in. Just an Uzi. A dude puts the Uzi in without seeing, like, what's going on and just starts firing.
Yeah, but is there not, like, one person posted up by the door?
Apparently not.
Like,
they just put
all I'm saying is, like, there was, like, we didn't put one person posted up on the door, like... Just, like, just in case, because the door didn't work, obviously.
That didn't really make a lot of sense.
And what a gun to choose.
The dude has an Uzi and just puts it in the door and just blind fires.
Yeah, he comes around that corner and just lets go.
Fancy gets hit a couple places in the chest, and I think a bullet grazes his arm.
I think he gets grazed in the arm.
It turns into NYPD Blue slow motion.
Like a little bitch.
Okay.
What?
It turns into NYPD Blue slow motion, and Sorensen goes after him. I wanted to mention that the shooter gets outside, Medavoy and Martinez go police, and he just shoots in the air. Like, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and you can tell that this was not, like, a real thing, because there's no, like, one, why does Danny freeze? Was that not weird that, like, that dude was able to walk out, shoot an Uzi in the air, and, like, he gets behind a car, falls down behind a car, and, like, Danny walks out, like, real slow.
Yeah, and then...
like, with a gun drawn on him, and, like, just stares at him.
And then eventually gets on him. Yeah, it's very odd.
Does he, like, what I was trying to see, which I couldn't figure out on my own, was he unloading on him, and we just couldn't tell because of... But no, he would have had guns and bullets in his chamber, so no, he didn't shoot him. If any dude right now is just, like, in New York, shot an Uzi in the air, there's no way he would not be shot.
Yeah, pretty much. He would have been hit at least a couple times. It cuts back to inside, and Dornan is looking over Fancy. Fancy says, "I think I got hit in the arm, but I'll be okay." And he says, "This will look great on my resume."
That's a little quip to Dornan. Oh, fuck you.
When we cut back to the house, and here is a bunch of scenes changing perspective, but it's all the same story. Just a whole bunch of shit happens at the house right here. They come back to the house, and the dude's getting manhandled by a ton of police officers. Like, he's got a half a dozen dudes, like, grabbing him and throwing him into rooms and shit. He's like, "I didn't realize you were cops. Please don't do this." Fancy's like, "Make sure that isn't an act." And he notices that Graham is in his office on the phone. As they get him into a room to interrogate him, he looks at Dornan and he's like, "Oh, don't let him hurt me." And he's like, "Don't worry, brother. No hard feelings that you tried to kill me." Fancy goes into his office, and Graham gives him the finger on the phone. I hate when someone puts up their finger when they're on the phone, especially if you're in, like, their room or in their space or they're doing something for you.
Fair enough. I'm going to defend the finger on the phone thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have been at work and have been on the phone, and I have coworkers who will see me on the phone and come up and start talking. So what would you rather me do? Tell you to shut the fuck up or give you a finger that's like, "Hey, 1 second." Because you socially can't see that I'm on the phone, so that's my problem? No. Shut the fuck up. You're getting a finger.
But if the person didn't say anything... No, I'm saying...
Fair enough. 100%.
Fancy walked up and looked at him, and the guy put a finger up like, "I'll be just a second." Be like, "No, you're fucking... Get off my fucking phone."
No, 100%. If they don't walk up and say anything to me, I don't give them that. But there are people that I know, when they're walking up to me, they don't give a fuck that I'm on the phone. They're just going to start talking. So I have to give them that, like, no, you need to wait.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
no, I agree with you. That guy's just a dick. That's part of who he is, though.
So. Yeah, he gets off the phone and he said, "How did it happen? I thought the openings were secure." And Fancy was like, "Yeah, he came in from another apartment. Get out from behind my desk." And then the guy's like, "Well, how did he walk into the room?" And then Fancy's like, "They broke the locks breaking in. Ask another question, and I'm kicking your ass." And then Graham's like, "Want a second ass kicking? I don't know, something dumb. Because IAB is here." Then it cuts to Sipowicz, Sorensen, Medavoy, Martinez, and Dornan going hard on this dude.
Yeah, they're committing a lot of violations.
What? How are they committing violations so far?
I just feel like it's not all kosher. That's all I'm saying. I mean, he did shoot the lieutenant. Like, I just don't feel like what they're doing is on board. That's all I'm going to say.
They confirm with the dude. He's like, "I just thought someone was breaking into my neighbor's house." And he's like, "Do you do that for all of your neighbors?"
I mean, cool neighbor, right?
That's a really cool neighbor. If someone was breaking into my place, I'd want my neighbor to blindly shoot inside of it.
You can't, I mean, you can't find a neighbor like that anymore.
No, they would just let you get robbed. Fancy gets Dornan, Sipowicz, and Sorensen out of the room. When they come out, he's like, "What's going on?" He's like, "Just come to my office." And Sipowicz is like, "Any hints?" They're immediately upset at seeing IAB. And IAB lets him know, "I have to check that no one gave advance notice that this was going down." And everybody just mocks that that's a question.
I mean, it kind of is.
It's a stupid question, but the way they do it is so mean, where Sipowicz is like, yeah, you're right, I sold it to, I don't know who he said, it's like, I sold it to somebody for $50, that's my going rate. Especially because I was the one in danger. Sorensen says the same thing, because he then's like, well, you couldn't have told him on purpose, and then Sorensen's like, oh, we're not on the take, we're just idiots. Fancy.
I mean, I get why they're upset. I mean, they just were shot at, but they don't have to be douches about it.
And then Fancy's like, well, maybe someone's twisting Martens's arm to be here. And then Dornan was like, it's all about me. I'm the only one that had enough advance notice to sell to somebody, and I orchestrated the whole thing. I gave everybody the information and who to shoot. Martens is like, and why would you do that? He's like, to treat the job how it treated me. Martens just straight up goes, I'll come back when you're a little more calm down, and leaves. He gives a look to Sorensen.
He didn't set it up, right?
No.
Okay, yeah. He does a really good job selling it. I've watched it numerous times, and I always leave with he didn't set it up.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also leave with sometimes of like, dang, he's really convincing there.
Well, he's just so clearly, like, done with it all and done with dealing with, like, asshole bosses that are pieces of shit.
Yeah, dude.
And Graham...
He's over it.
And Graham was like, well, a whole lot of good got done today. And they're all like, so I guess you're not going to stick around for credit then. He's like, oh, no, I will. And then they're like, fuck off. And everyone starts leaving one by one. Sorensen left first to go talk to Martens. And it's actually a pretty cool scene. I liked it a lot, where Sorensen goes to Martens, who needs change for a vending machine, and then when they get closer, Martens says, yeah, I found out why he got demoted. It was for being a bad supervisor. And Sorensen's like, Sipowicz is thinking it might be for reopening the case, and Martens is like, yeah, that's not what it is. And then Martens is like, well, if you're a guy like Dornan, you mentioned it earlier, if you're a guy like Dornan who pisses a lot of people off over 15 years, they'll use any little thing that happens as a reason to get you demoted.
But they don't even say, like, a guy like, I don't have a word for it, so I don't want to, like, be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, like, oh, no, when you're a black cop like Dornan, and you have the attitude he has or something like that, you tend to piss a lot of people off.
Yeah, he does say something like that, yeah.
They make an effort to say, like, his skin color has a lot to do with it as well, Danny.
His skin color and the attitude he has while having that skin color.
Like, look, it didn't hurt.
Yeah.
That he was a black cop and he had a bad attitude.
That's how, like, I think the people who made the episode get away with it. It's like, yeah, it's because he's black and he has an attitude.
No, but dude, I bet you, like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'd like to give the late 90s, early 2000s, like, more credit. But I 100% think that these dudes are in a writing room and they're like, yeah, dude, we're writing some pretty fucking, like, mind-bending racial stuff. And we are pushing the boundaries of, like, ebony and ivory, bro, like, trying to, like, fix that fucking gap between black and white and police officers. Like, I really think that they thought they were doing something with this episode. And when you look back on it, it's just kind of fucking weird.
I dig this conversation between Sorensen and Martens, because
yeah.
Sorensen did him a pretty big solid. Got him to move a case that ended up going nowhere because the FBI fucked it. But that was a couple episodes ago, for those that don't know what I'm talking about. When he calls in this favor, he's talking to Martens, and he's like, oh, there's one of your IAB guys in Dornan's precinct. And he's like, I can't tell you that. Don't ask me questions I can't answer. And then he's like, well, can you tell me who was going out for him? He's like, look, Danny, you did me a favor. You didn't find me unconscious in a burning building. Like, I can give you some information. I'm not going to give you all of the information. I can't do it. And I was like, I really like this. I always liked Martens. I really do. And just how he's, like, letting him know subtly, like, I cannot give you all the information. I can help you out, I can ease your mind a little bit, but I can't give you all the deets.
I also think that, like, that's also Martens' subtle way of, like, being like, hey, we are even now. Like, the information I've given you is equal to what you did for me, so, like, you know, we're good. Like, leave me alone. Like, this is over with. Like, stop, you're being annoying now, and, like, this is not how it works.
I really liked how, because the whole idea was, like, they're making change, and Martens is like, people are going to start thinking you don't know how to count. So then Danny gives him the change, and then Martens goes, you got $2 coming. And Danny's like, oh, I thought maybe you were setting me up for a bribe. And Martens goes, stranger things have happened. And it was like...
I like that. I like how they ended that. That made me think that, like, there was at some point maybe hopes of, like maybe Danny ever left or something, like Danny screws Martens over or something, or, like, Martens could go bad. I don't know. I just felt like that line was supposed to mean something that they could never, spoiler alert, fill out, you know?
I also liked it because, like, Martens is so abused. Every time he shows up, he's getting abused by somebody.
Yeah.
And there was a moment where the guy jokes with him, like, oh, you're setting me up for a bribe, but it's not, like, really mean. And he goes, like, I know that crazy shit happens all the time. I know how it appears to you guys, but yeah, there's definitely people in my department that set up bullshit that like that. And I'm not doing that to you. I think he was like, look, I'm not going to take your $2 and change on top of this information, because that seems dumb. Just, here's the $2. I'm going to get this dumb thing, and I'm going to get out of here. If I stay here too long, Medavoy's going to yell at me about something that I have no idea what's going on.
Medavoy's still pissed about the Chinese food situation.
Okay, so they cut to Dorn and Fancy in the bathroom. Sipowicz is outside the bathroom, like, looking in, acting weird. Medavoy and Martinez come out to Sipowicz and tell him the dude was just being a nice neighbor. He wanted to get some payment knocked off that Uzi that he bought from the dude in the apartment.
Yeah.
Makes sense, kind of. Danny comes in.
That's weird.
Danny relays the information that he got from Martens. Sipowicz is just upset that the information is not what he wanted or as specific as he wanted. When Danny's like, look, man, the way he figured it, Dornan pissed off a lot of people with his attitude. And Sipowicz is like, yeah, that negative attitude. People get sick of that crap. And I wanted to be like, Sipowicz, look in a mirror, brother. Like, you do the same thing.
Like, the whole, like, Dornan is where Sipowicz was when we first started this. Oh my God. I just thought of that right now. Like, Dornan is exactly where, is going through exactly what Sipowicz was going through when we first started this show. Except that, like, Dornan has actually suffered consequences and has, like, been demoted.
Yeah, kinda.
Sipowicz is drunk on the job. Sipowicz is an asshole. People have to cover for him. He's not even a supervisor, so he should be. It's even worse because he's in a lower position and doing even a shittier job than what Dornan was doing. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, it's just funny.
It also they never really talk about Dornan having a drinking problem at the job. So he's literally just being a problem by going, hey, you're treating me bad because I'm black. And they're like, God, why do you have such a bad attitude about it?
Yeah. Or he doesn't take any, or like his whole career, he hasn't like taken any shit and like bent the knee or whatever. He's done things like kind of his way and he's been labeled as a problem and blah, blah, blah. When really all he's doing is just trying to be the best that he can. Like, yeah, dude, it's, and Sipowicz just keeps getting away with being a dumbass. So, not anymore, but he did in the beginning.
It then cuts back to,
like, Sipowicz should not have his job.
At this point, no. I mean, if they did their job right back in the day, Kelly should have.
Yeah, well, no, like, after he got shot, and he's kind of like, you know, been like an alright detective, and not been a problem. But before, up to being shot, like, he should not have had his job, but people covered for him and took care of him. And, like, yeah, and then Dornan, like, they just are, like, so quick to just move down, you know?
They cut to Dornan and Fancy. Dornan's like, you know, you should really get that look at. He's like, I don't need to get it looked at. And then Dornan kind of goes, like, I don't want there to be hard feelings. Like, I got you into danger. And Fancy is like, I'm over 21. I decided to go in. And then Dornan makes a crack that's like, yeah, you were over 21 and thinking that you're living free and white. And Fancy's response to that was like, look, man, if you want to have that attitude and keep your execution going, cool. I'm not going to help you, and I'm not going to join you. I don't know, and I feel like I have no room to comment on this at all, because I am of the Caucasian persuasion. But it really felt like Dornan was just like, hey man, I'm trying to connect to you as another black guy in this situation. And then Fancy was like, shut the fuck up. Like, maybe Fancy was like, man, that attitude isn't going to get you anywhere. And sure, he has a little bit more, he has a little bit more room because he was just shot. I feel like Dornan was just like, hey man, like, sorry about this. For a moment, maybe we felt like we were free and white, like we weren't under the burden of these white dudes. And then Fancy's like, shut the fuck up, Dornan. Like, I don't want to fucking talk to you about this. And I was like, holy shit, brah, okay.
I think Fancy thought that they had a different experience together. And when he made that, like, crack comment, that little, like, comment, Fancy was just like, well, whatever, dude. Like, you're still thinking in this one, like, dimension. And I thought, like, we had reached a different place.
That could be it. I don't know. To me, it was just like, it seemed really harsh. Dornan kind of leaves the bathroom defeated on it. And Sipwitz chases his ass down. And he's like, yeah, good working with you, Dornan. And Dornan's like, Sipwitz, if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to beat your balls off. I was going to have a drink tonight. And Sipwitz is like, when it comes to me, there's not an either or. And I was like, what? Okay.
This is just, like, some, like, childish shit. Like, there's no need to follow him. Just, like, let it go. Let him go. And then, you know, the next time you see him, just let him know what he did was, like, a bitch move. But, like, you don't have to go to the fucking stairs, you know what I mean?
And they have this, I think they thought it was a pretty inspirational, like, pretty breakthrough conversation, where Sipwitz is like, hey, man, the Suarez case didn't demote you. And he's like, yeah, it did. And he's like, no, because if it did, I forgot exactly what he said, but he's like, it was not the Suarez case. You did the right thing there. It's what's getting you demoted is this chip on your shoulder. You have a big neon sign for this. And he says, it's because I don't take crap from anybody. I haven't done it for 15 years and I'm not going to start it now. The line that I want to talk about is, he's like, it's because of this chip on your shoulder. And his response is, if I was white, that would be called dignity.
Yeah.
And when he said it, I was like, that line turns this whole thing kind of upside down in this era. Because what he's saying is like, no, I have a right to be upset when people mistreat me. And
yeah,
the response he's getting is, no, you have a bad attitude. He's like, no, I am being mistreated for no reason. If it was happening to you, it would be accepted and almost expected, but because it's me, it's a bad attitude.
But the thing is the mistreatment that he's getting would never happen to Sipwitz because he's a white man in the police department. So, like, and Sipwitz wouldn't stand for that type of treatment. Like, it would never get to that point. Like, the amount of shit that, like, Dornan and, like, Fancy have had to swallow, like, Sipwitz would never have to deal with any of that.
And after he says that, Sipwitz then kind of changes his tone. He doesn't change his tone, he changes what he says. Because then Sipwitz is like, look, man, because Dornan looks around and looks at all these cops, and he's like, I don't like them laughing at me, talking about me like this. And Sipwitz basically says, these cops aren't fit enough to carry your jockstrap. And he's like, well, I'm not going to take crap from them. I haven't before. I'm not going to now. And Sipwitz says, basically, well, fuck those guys. Fuck what they think. Fuck the haters. And do a good job. And then Dornan responds with, it's doing the right thing. It's been good enough for 26 years. It's going to have to be good enough now. And leaves. And I was like, so the whole point of this episode was like, this dude gets demoted for speaking out against being mistreated. And sometimes it may not be warranted. Sometimes it's probably definitely warranted. But the response from the higher ups is, hey man, it's not cool that you complain when we mistreat you. So here's a demotion. But we already covered it. If it was somebody else, that was white, be like, well, that's just dignity. I have my dignity. You are mistreating me. But because it's Dornan, he has a bad attitude. And I was like, seeing it through this lens, it completely changes the story. It flips it on its head in a weird way.
And you have, and another part is, it's like, you have two black men who have risen to the to high ranks in the police department, and they each had to do it like their own way, and each have done it a different way, but yet they still, and then yet they both kind of have this bonding moment over like, but we still have been treated like shit.
Yeah.
Fancy's considered by like white cops as like the token black guy, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how Andy always is shocked by him. When Andy finds out, you know, he likes to like eat ribs and shit, Andy's like, well, what? You like to eat, come to this black place and eat? It's like, yeah, he's a black man. But Andy like looks at him as like white black, you know? And then here's Dornan, who's a black sergeant, and he's done it, and he's unabashedly like, no, like, you are not gonna, I'm not gonna be a token black guy, and I'm gonna be me. And he's labeled as difficult, and yet they're both in positions where they're just like, still got fucked with, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. The next scene, Fancy is gonna bail on the press conference, and Sipowicz gets annoyed by this, catches him in the stairwell. He says some kind of fucked up shit.
Sipowicz is on one at the end of this. Like, none of this has anything to do with him, and he needs to relax.
For reals. Fancy's like, I'm not going. And he's like, what do you mean you're not going? And he's like, I'm not going to stand next to that guy. I'm ashamed we're both bosses. And Sipowicz literally says, you people are as crazy as the rest of them. And I'm like, what? You people, don't say you people. That's just a rule.
Oh, and then the fucked up part is like, normally the writers make there be like a confrontation,
mm-hmm.
or something where like the person he's saying that to like checks them, and then like he kind of retreats. Nothing at all. He says you people, and then the dude's just like, all right, and then Fancy's like, I'm just leaving.
He then says, make sure you get a pass so they'll let you out tomorrow. And I was like, that's harsh as well. That seems fucked up to say.
Yeah.
He gets up to the office, and he sees everybody, and he sees Graham in Fancy's office. And Sipowicz just tells the detectives, we're going home.
It's a baller move.
Martinez gets slightly upset, and Sipowicz is like, fine, you can stay. And then Graham's like, where do you guys think...
I get it, though. Like, it's the one time at this job where, like, you're gonna be on the news or in the paper, you know, like you did something good, like you want your family to see it. I don't know.
Then Graham's like, where do you guys think you're going? And he's like, we're not gonna have the thing with you. And he's like, if you're not there, you're not gonna like the statement I'm gonna say. And Sipowicz is like, yeah, I read that verbatim. And then as they leave, Danny's like, how bad do you think it looks that your own detective isn't with you?
And you're in someone else's house.
And
he's like, how bad is it going to look? You're in someone else's house, and your own detective won't even stand with you.
So they start to leave, and then Danny's like, so did Fancy ask us to do this? And Sipowicz is like, no, I'm just making sure that those people don't corner the market in shooting themselves in the foot. And it's like, what? You did it because...
And no one questions it.
And honestly, it's because it sucks because Sipowicz is doing the right thing, but he's got to be a fucking asshole about it. Like, it was the right thing. Like, Fancy's not showing up, we're not showing up.
Yeah, what he does is very baller, and, like, the way, like you were saying, he kind of just tells Martinez, like, if you want to it, but you're going to look like a dumbass, and we're all going to kind of, like, not respect you. So, do what you want to do, bro.
After they leave, Graham cancels the press conference. When we see Sipowicz again, him and Sorensen are at a bar, and Sorensen has a beer, Sipowicz has water. And Sipowicz is going over everything that happened that day for some reason. They see Fancy at the bar, and he's like, what is he doing here? And Danny's like, it appears he has a beer. And Sipowicz is like, he's a family man, he should be on his way home. So he's like, I'm going to go over, I'm going to give a signal if he's not confrontational. And Sorensen is tired over signals from the last couple episodes. Like, everyone's been giving him signals and, like, not talking to him. So he's like, whatever. Sipowicz goes up to Fancy, and... they talk a little bit. He says, we didn't go to the press conference. One thing before they went over, Sipowicz does reveal his good intentions, because he's like he didn't go to his own press conference, and Sorensen's like, you didn't go to your own press conference. And Sipowicz said, look, he's the boss. You back the boss's play because you want him to back you. And I was like, yeah, that's all you needed to say. That's all you needed to say when you were walking out. They tell Fancy they didn't go, and Fancy's like, oh, okay. They then ask, are you waiting for the traffic to thin out? And Fancy says, I'm afraid to go home because I don't want my wife to know that I was shot at. Which, honestly, he could have said that about not wanting to go to the press conference. He probably didn't want to go because his wife would see it. They'd mention that he was shot on duty. And then he'd have to go home without calling her to let them know that he got shot on duty. So I'm pretty sure that's why he bounced on the press conference, besides that dude being an asshole.
No way.
I think that's the reason.
With what was going on with him and Dornan, and how, like, racially motivated a lot of things were in this episode, and then how dickish that guy Graham was, it was not because his wife would see him on TV. Not at that point. Maybe that was the excuse later at a different point, but that was never the real excuse. Like, he was not going to do it because he did not want to be associated with that guy Graham. That's my opinion.
I mean, that's fair. I assume that it was that, but I mean, I could be wrong.
That guy Graham stands for more than just being that douche. He also stands for being like every white douche that Fancy and Dornan have had to deal with.
That's
so, like,
point.
that was Fancy's fuck you.
It did feel sure. It did feel like Graham would be the next boss to use the N-word on tape. He just kind of has that vibe. Other than that one that Fancy got removed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was shocked that they didn't throw one in there. Throw one out real quick.
Just top it off with a little N-word. Fancy apologizes to Sipowicz for bringing up, you know, the dangers of getting shot on the job. Then Fancy tells Sorensen that basically what happened to Andy Jr. Andy Jr. was shot in a situation where he was trying to do the right thing and died. And it just was now that I realized, oh, that's right. Sorensen doesn't know all the crazy shit that happened in this squad over the years.
He has no idea about the squad's history whatsoever.
And Fancy's like, yeah, his son died a hero. And it was like, I remember that. I remember when Simone gave that look to Andy, and I was like, oh, fucking shit.
That was a good acting right there.
It was a good episode. That's the end of the episode, them having beers together and talking about the stuff. Is there anything you wanted to mention about this episode before we end?
How fucking crazy is that, like, the ending is two white guys and a black guy just having beers after all that shit went down?
I mean, that's pretty cool.
And their response is like, we're cool, right? Cool.
Well, what I found weird, because, like...
Oh, you don't want to tell your wife you got shot either? Want a beer? Cool, let's go.
Well, here's the thing that I wanted to mention, because I mentioned the dignity thing, which really separates the two sides of this racial divide in the police precinct. But what's very weird about this episode, Sipowicz says and does a lot of shit that's out of pocket in this episode. A lot of shit. He goes hard on that transvestite or transgender woman, that person at the beginning of this episode. He goes after them.
Kurt, I think we call them trannies.
No, we don't call them trannies, Kyle. That's what we call our transmissions when we're working with our friend that has mental problems, who is going to kidnap a guy and
that is bus route.
That stupid episode. I have a point here. It's not going to make a lot of sense, but it's there.
Is it a point?
He goes hard on that transgendered woman, but when that transgendered woman is like, can I get a ride? He does give her a ride, but he's like, don't fucking talk to me. And it's like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's totally cool.
That's insane. And then, in this episode, he does a lot of things that are like, wow, that is very racially deaf of you to do. Like, the way he asked the questions of the black police officers, the things he said directly to Fancy's face, like the you people shit, the get a pass, make sure to get a pass so they let you out tomorrow. A lot of that shit was just way out of left field and uncool. But when it came down to doing the right thing for Fancy, and for telling Dornan what's up, he does give Dornan compliments, and he does tell him, like, hey man, you're better than these assholes that you hate in this department. And he tells Fancy, like, you deserve to be up there more than that guy. We were not going to be up there without you. And we'll sit here and talk with you and chat it up with you. But I think this is highlights the difference between you and Dad, where you say Sipowicz is just 100% racist, which if you're a little bit racist, you're just racist. The salt in the water makes it salt water. Then there's Dad, who's like, he's not racist. He has racial issues. It's like, yeah, but you shouldn't say that shit to the dude. You shouldn't be saying that shit about transsexuals. It's not difficult to understand.
Kurt.
Yeah.
What I'm about to say is controversial, so disclaimer. Even the slave master offered some water every now and then.
Okay, well, that's, yeah, that's pretty, pretty terrible.
Even Thomas Jefferson, just because you do nice things doesn't mean you're not a fucking racist.
I don't disagree with you there. I'm just, the only thing I'm saying is, because, especially with John now in the precinct, and with Sipowicz being forced to interact with someone of the LGBTQ+ community, and because we know, because we've seen this series before, he's gonna have those things challenged more and more and more and more. You see that the man is way out of pocket on this shit, but yet he still will do the quote-unquote right thing. He just needs to have those really shitty things challenged and fixed, which eventually they do, question mark? I don't remember exactly how he ends up in this series, but he gets certainly better than he used to fucking be. It's insane how...
Well, he had to get better because standards got a little tighter, so he couldn't say as many N-words as he used to.
Anyway, anything else you'd like to say about this episode?
No, not really. Like, I think we hit it all pretty calmly. It's a wild episode if you think about it.
Yeah.
It's like they try to have this, like, super, like, in-depth talk about race, and then they just end it with, like, the white guy's doing the right thing and the black guy coming back and having a beer with him. It's good, though. There's some good acting scenes. Like, the guy who plays Dornan is always really good, in my opinion. I really like him as an actor. I think he does the character justice, especially like a guy who's spiraling out of control. And Martens is always solid.
That Rankin dude is playing a very good white dude you want to punch just for existing.
Yeah, yeah.
It highlights his character because when I first saw him, I was like, I have sympathy for him because he has been saddled with a detective that's a fucking drunk that's making his job harder. And now it's like, no, he's just a fucking asshole. I thought he had a point in that other episode, but...
And you know he's been sent to that guy. You know Dornan's been sent to him. I bet you behind closed doors they're like, oh, Dornan's an uppity black cop, let's send him to the racist white guy.
Let's send him to...
Let's see how he likes working for the police department then, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Who? Anyways... I thought I had something else, but I can't find it. Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, where you find a podcast. We're on Instagram at AstroBrothersPodcast. We're on Twitter at AstroBrosPod, mostly mentioning when new episodes come out. And have a good one. Peace.